Okay. Right. Okay. There you go. Let's turn to Judges chapter 13. We're going to be introduced to Samson today, or more Samson's parents. So Judges 13, let's read this. Now the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord gave them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bore no children. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Behold, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and give birth to a son. Now therefore, be careful not to drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. For behold, you shall conceive and give birth to a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines." Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came to me, and his appearance was like the appearance of the angel of God, very awesome. I did not ask him where he came from, nor did he tell me his name. But he said to me, 'Behold, you shall conceive and give birth to a son, and now you shall not drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing, for the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.' Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, 'O Lord, please let the man of God whom thou hast sent come to us again, that he may teach us what to do for the boy who is to be born.' And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman as she was sitting in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. So the woman ran quickly and told her husband, 'Behold, the man who came the other day has appeared to me.' Then Manoah arose and followed his wife, and when he came to the man, he said to him, 'Are you the man who spoke to the woman?' And he said, 'I am.' And Manoah said, 'Now, when your words come to pass, what shall be the boy's mode of life and his vocation?' So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'Let the woman pay attention to all that I said. She should not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. Let her observe all that I commanded.' Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'Please let us detain you so that we may prepare a kid for you.' And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'Though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, then offer it to the Lord.' For Manoah did not know that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'What is your name? So that when your words come to pass, we may honor you.' But the angel of the Lord said to him, 'Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?' So Manoah took the kid with the grain offering and offered it on the rock to the Lord. And he performed wonders while Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came about when the flame went up from the altar toward heaven that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. Now the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah or his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. So Manoah said to his wife, 'We shall surely die, for we have seen God.' But his wife said to him, 'If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have let us hear these things like this at this time.' Then the woman gave birth to a son and named him Samson. And the child grew up, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him in Mahanadan, which there between Zorah and Eshtol." Amen. So now we have a period, a relative calm from, if you remember, from the last chapter of Jephthah. And now we're with Samson. But in between this time, 40 years passes. And just to get an idea, 40 years is considered a generation. That's why this number 40 is pretty prominent all throughout. 40 years in the wilderness, 40 days Jesus fasted, and so you'll see this number. It just means a generation or a specified period of time. And so 40 years passes, and now the Philistines are all over the Israelites. And again, beginning, now the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So going back to peace was not enough. They started doing bad things. And so the Philistines, God takes his hand off of the Israelites, the Philistines, for 40 years. And then the angel of the Lord comes, and there's only a few of these in the whole Bible, of an angelic visitation and an angelic announcement of a child that's going to come. And so we have already been introduced to a few coming into this, and then obviously the highlight would be John the Baptist and then Mary. But we've already been introduced. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. We will be introduced to Samuel later on, And interesting enough, all these angelic visitations are geared towards what we would call the Nazarites. And so if you turn to Numbers chapter 6, if you remember going all the way back then, Numbers 6 tells us the law of the Nazarites. It's a new, it's above and beyond all the everything is going on. A Nazarite in Hebrew just means consecrated or someone wholly dedicated in this way. So the Nazarite in this way was someone that was totally dedicated to the Lord. And so if you go to Numbers 6, verse 1, again, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when a man or woman makes a special vow, the vow of a Nazarite to dedicate himself to the Lord, he shall abstain from wine and strong drink. He shall drink no vinegar, whether made from wine or strong drink. Neither shall he drink any grape juice, nor eat fresh or dried grapes. All the days of his separation, he shall not eat anything that is produced by the grapevine, from the seeds even to the skin. All the days of his vow of separation, no razor shall pass over his head. He shall be holy until the days are fulfilled, for which he separated himself to the Lord. He shall let the locks of hair on his head grow long. All the days of his separation to the Lord, he shall not go near a dead person. He shall not make himself unclean for his father or for his mother, for his brother or for his sister when they die, because his separation to God is on his head. All the days of his separation, he is holy to the Lord. But if a man dies very suddenly besides him, and he defiles his dedicated head of hair, then he shall shave his head on the day when he becomes clean. He shall shave it on the seventh day. Then on the eighth day he shall bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons to the priest. Door of the tent of meeting, the priest shall offer one for a sin offering, the other for a burnt offering." On and on and on. Let's go to 13. "Now, this is the law of the Nazarite. When the days of his separation are fulfilled, he shall bring the offering to the doorway of the tent of meeting, and he shall present his offering to the Lord, one male lamb a year old without defect for a burnt offering, one ewe lamb a year old without defect for a sin offering, one ram without defect, peace offering, basket of unleavened cakes, and so on and so forth. And he would sacrifice and burn his hair as well." And so that was a Nazarite. So we learn a couple things from Numbers 6. Well, there, number one, a Nazarite could be a man or a woman. And so it wasn't just for men, either males or females. And generally, when this vow was taken during the times of Moses, was when someone was cured of an illness or when a child was given, that they would take this vow of a Nazarite and they would dedicate themselves. Now, it could be for life. It's seemingly that was Samson's, but sometimes it's also for a season. And thus, in Numbers it says, for a time of their separation. And so, nothing from the vine, no grapes, no raisins, none of that stuff, even vinegar, anything that's sour comes from the vine, unclean things. And we have all those things from Moses' law that tells us that. Couldn't go near a dead person. And so it was forbidden because that was part of the ritual cleansing at that time. And throughout all this, and when it was done, they had to bring an offering to the Lord. And so we're going to go ahead of time here. So Samson, his hair, we're going to talk about this next week, but his hair, it wasn't that his hair was powerful. And it wasn't like there was like supernatural hair that he had, but the hair was the outward representation of this vow, this Nazarite vow that he had, that his family and by the Lord had given to his family. And so again, it's interesting, angelic visitation, angelic announcement, and you have basically four people. You have Jesus. You have John the Baptist, you have Samson, and you have Samuel, and every one of those a Nazarite. Now, Jesus, not fully explicit, but still, everyone wholly consecrated to the Lord as a Nazarite. And so there's some kind of supernatural connection that's happening there. And so let's kind of dig into the text here. Oh, by the way, there is a New Testament Nazarite vow, if you've never seen it before, and it's in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. If you want to turn your Bibles there to Romans 12, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Holy, a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Right? I urge you, brothers, in the view of the mercies of God, or by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. That is really the New Testament equivalent to this vow of the Nazarite, that we are to wholly be dedicated, consecrated to God. So, the Philistines are all over the Israelites. God raises up a leader. And remember how we talked about before, he chooses the nobodies? Well, this family was nobodies. And then, on top of that, now we have an instance where a judge is chosen, but he's a baby. It's going to take quite a bit of time for him to step into this role. So, an angel of the Lord appears to the wife and basically says, be careful, you are barren. This is verse 3. You have borne no children, but you shall conceive and give birth to a son. Now, therefore, be careful not to drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing, for you shall conceive and give birth to a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. Boy shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. Now, this was what was unique. We'll see that happen later on as well with John the Baptist, but actually, the parents had dedicated their children to the Lord in this regard, just like Samuel did with Hannah. And we see that she was given instructions not to drink, not to eat any unclean things and whatnot, because she was bringing birth to this Nazarite. So the woman comes to the man and says, oh man, I saw this man. Don't you love this? A man of God came to me, and his appearance was like the appearance of an angel of God, very awesome. And I did not ask him where it came from. And so the man prays to the Lord in verse 8, and he says, O Lord, please let the man of God whom thou hast sent come to us again, that he may teach us what to do for the boy who is to be born again. Now, this is, I'll give you a New Testament equivalent in a moment, but this is this idea of, oh my goodness, Lord, you know, like, I didn't get to see this. Can you come again? And, you know, can you show us? Can you... And, you know, in the New Testament, it says that, you know, even if you do miracles, you know, you still won't believe. And so, even though this man is entreating, basically asking similar things that the Pharisees did, yet God answers this man's prayer, because the idea for him, Manoah, the difference is that he already believed. The issue wasn't, you know, woman, wife, I don't believe you. He already believes. He's asking, Lord, could you give us more instruction of that? In our prayers, this is a part of our prayers, that's a totally legitimate prayer to ask. God speaks to us in some way. It's to say, God, can you give me further instruction? And it's not like, God, I don't believe you. Now, sometimes we do ask for things because we don't believe God, but this is not the case of Manoah. Manoah believed, and he says, God, can you just give us further instructions? How do we raise this child? You can see that he was quite devout in his heart. How can we do this for the boy? Can you teach us what to do for the boy who is to be born? Right? Now, I guess this would apply mostly to Andrew and Aaron. Right? You know, you guys are about to have children very, very soon. And this is the type of prayers that you need to be praying. God, the child of promise is coming. God, will you please tell us what to do so we could raise our children well? This is a most holy prayer, brothers and sisters, for us as parents and soon-to-be parents that come before the Lord. And this doesn't just, you know, stop when, you know, your wife gives birth. This is a prayer that you should be praying all the time. Lord, please show us what to do. I mean, my wife and I last night, we, you know, I don't know how much I should share online here, but we had ran a little difficulty with one of our children, and, you know, she's going hyper-emotional over the dumbest thing, And so, you know, after the kids went to bed, we're just sitting there talking like, what do we do? You know, how do we do this? And you know, I'm just so struck by this prayer today. And Lord, teach us what to do for the boy who is to be born. Lord, teach us what to do for our children. This is probably the most powerful prayer as a parent. It's not like, God, you need to come and show me who you are. God, will you just really help us? We want to do the best with our kids. We want to be able to raise our kids in the most holy, godly way. Lord, please teach us how to raise our kids. You know, teach us what to do for our children in this regard. And this is the encouragement of the Lord to a lot of us parents that are here and soon to be parents and people that want to be parents, and you will be soon. And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of the Lord came again. I love that response, and God listened. You know, if we humble ourselves before the Lord and we place our kids in the altar and we say, Lord, these are not our children, these are your children, that they belong to you, God will answer our prayers. God will help us. God will give us the strength. It's amazing. I'm reminded of Enoch all the way in the book of Genesis. You know, it says Enoch, you know, he had a relationship with God, blah, blah, blah. And then the Bible says, and then Enoch had a son. And then the word after that says, and Enoch walked with God. And my belief, my interpretation is Enoch had a decent relation with the Lord. But as soon as he had a child, he became so dependent on him. And it says, and then he walked with the Lord. And it was the child, his son, that was the impetus that really initiated him becoming so dependent on Jesus. And so all you guys, you know, Marcus, I see you there too, right? So it's a word for all you first-time parents. Man, lay your kids on the altar. Entreat the Lord again and again. God, what do you want me to do? What do you want us to do as parents? And when you have that heart, God will answer you. God will teach you exactly what you need to do. God will teach you exactly how to raise our kids in the glory and the presence of the Lord. And so the angel comes back and listens to the voice of Manoah and meets her in the field. And so being a good wife, runs, grabs her husband. Hey, God answered your prayer. Here he is. And again, he says, Manoah, verse 12, now, when your words come to pass, so he has total faith in this. Okay, so he's not asking or entreating because of his doubt or unbelief. His wife is barren. He goes, okay, so when your word comes to pass, in other words, I believe what you're saying here. What shall be the boy's mode of life and his vocation? He's a good father, you know. So what shall we do in this regard? And the angel of the Lord said, let the woman pay attention to all that I said. And again, woman, you need not to eat, you need not to drink, you need to consecrate yourself. And so Manoah, being a good Jew, says, okay, can I host you? You know, it's kind of like, thank you for this word. Can I host you? Can we offer a kid? And in this regard, he's talking about a feast that he wants to honor this. He thinks it's a man, but you know, this is a Christophany that happens here. And so, the angel says, no, I'm not going to stick around for a meal, but you can offer the meal to the Lord. And this is like, now we get into like movie sci-fi that happens. All of a sudden, they present the grain and meat offering to the Lord, and it goes up. The guy, well, first of all, this is so cool. Verse 18, he asks, what's your name? And he goes, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? The word there actually translated is incomprehensible. The name is unspeakable. And Jesus will make that similar kind of greetings with people. And so he does this thing, and then verse 9, middle of 19, he says, and he performed wonders. And so as he was there offering, something was happening, and all of a sudden fire comes down. It's kind of like Elijah. Fire comes down, and it goes up straight, this offering goes straight to heaven, and he goes straight to heaven. He ascends with this. And all of a sudden, Manoah and his wife realize, oh my goodness, we just saw God. How do we know? Because we're going to die. And the man's like, we're going to die. This is over. And this is a common reaction when people see God face to face. You think of Jacob and Penuel and other instances. And the wife says, no, we're not going to die. You know, I mean, he could have killed us a long time ago, but he accepted our offering to the Lord. And then they gave birth to this son, Samson, and a child grew up, and God blessed him. Pretty incredible beginning of this story, right? So let's close our eyes. The Nazirite. I want to tell you, people still take Nazirite vows to the Lord. You know, when I was on the tour years ago, we had a young man. It was actually Lou Engel's son, Jesse. He was 14 years old. And that year, in preparing for the call, he took a Nazirite vow. A 14-year-old kid, right? So, you know, obviously no drink, you know, in that regard, which is pretty easy for a 14-year-old kid. But he also added on, you know, no meat and no sweets for the whole year preparing. And, you know, we were there at the end of the call and the tour, and the end of the call when it happened, and, you know, cut his hair and offered a burnt offering to the Lord. It was actually quite a powerful moment. And, you know, I'm a whole year consecrated to the Lord, in this case for a particular event of really bringing revival to America. And people still take Nazirite vows. And now it's not even, we don't even have to call it a Nazirite vow. Again, going back to Romans 12, it says, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to the Lord, which is your spiritual service of worship. If you break that down, it's quite interesting. Because a sacrifice by nature is something that's dead. But he calls us to do something that's actually very difficult. He asks us to be a living sacrifice. Remember, sacrifice is dead. A living sacrifice, this is what we call an oxymoron. It's like jumbo shrimp, you know? In that same regard, this is the challenge of us living on this earth. We're supposed to be dead. That's what a sacrifice is. But we're living. And so what he's saying is, this is the New Testament vow of consecration. That we train and dedicate our bodies. We're living, but knowing that we're dead. And so we die to ourselves every single day. That's what God is calling each Isis. You could hear Paul's force. I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, or really more, the better translation is in view of the mercy. In other words, because of God's mercy. In other words, you can do this thing because of his mercy, because of his sacrifice. You can be a living and holy sacrifice. And so this morning, let's dedicate ourselves to the Lord once again. Let's consecrate ourselves and let's tell the Lord, Lord, I'm going to stay away from things that are bad for me. I might even stay away from things that are good for me, Lord, if it means that I get to draw closer to you. Now, we talk about this in fasting, to give up the legitimate pleasures of this world for the extreme pleasures of knowing God. That's Nazirite. Let's pray.
In awe and wonder, the King of all, the King of all. sing my praise. Then you bear my cross. Oh, you lay down your life. Then I will be set free. Yeah. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Justice shines like the sun in all of his brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. Then you would take my place. His throne to die. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. Then you would take my place. Then you would bear my cross. You laid down your
Let's continue to pray. Let's continue to consecrate ourselves. Let's present our bodies, our mind, our soul as a living sacrifice, dead to the world and alive to Christ. If there is something that you're struggling with these days, that you know that God wants you to put it on the altar, could be a relationship, could be your work. Maybe there's an area of your life that fear is dominating. Kill it. Put it on the altar. Let it be a living sacrifice. Well, let's pray together. Let's go to our community prayers, and let's lift up our church family and friends and family members that are battling through cancer, going through treatments. And let's pray for God's comfort. Let's pray for God's power. And let's pray for healing word to come over them and the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. Cover our community that are battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical and spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community that are battling non-cancer related illnesses. And let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community as they look for work, and let's pray for God's open doors and His provision over their life. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for SPSG. Let's pray for Singapore. And let's ask God to bless this country. Pray for the church there. Pray for Pastor Sam Kim and his family. They just put in a bid for a building. And so let's ask God for a favorable response. Unfortunately, Singapore, not only from the landlord, but also from the government. Because if the landlord approves of it, the government also needs to give a permit to meet as a religious institution, which is pretty difficult. So they're just stepping out in faith. And so let's pray. Pray for this new building that God would provide for them. Let's also pray for Indonesia. Let's ask God to touch the most populous Muslim country in the world. Let's pray for SP Indonesia. Pray for Pastor Salamat and his family, especially the Kupang trip. This is the first mission trip of this summer of service. And so let's pray for the team to come together and they would just really receive God's anointing and favor to go and be light there in Kupang. All right, so let's lift up Singapore and Indonesia. Let's pray for our local outreach. Let's pray for Igape, Homeless Ministry, SP Lives, Freedom Bridge, and Recreation. Let's pray for God's hand upon all the leaders and all the volunteers that the Lord would give them strength to go and really be light wherever they are at. Let's pray for a lot of strength for people. I'm sure they're tired throughout the week. And let's lift up. The latest season of Alpha has just finished. We've had quite a few people make decisions for Christ. Pray for the new believers and the graduates to be on fire for Christ, to get baptized this June, to sign up for GIC, attend House Church, be active member of the SP community or God's community somewhere else. And let's pray for real good follow-up. That's actually more important than the event itself. And so let's pray that the graduates, maybe some have not yet made that decision, that God would continue to lead them in their journey. And also the new believers, that would get plugged in community and grow in that way. Remember the parable of the sower, right? Make sure that the seed is on good soil, that God would harvest them. Let's pray. Let's pray for our meetings this night. Pray for SPU, College Ministry, IP, Intercessory Prayer, and EG class. Let's ask God's hand to be upon us and as we study, as we worship the Lord. Let's pray for just real hearts to change and be conformed to the image of Christ. Let's pray for House Church tonight. Let's pray for McCain and McRobinson. Let's pray Holy Spirit lead our hosts and our leaders and every person would just draw closer to the Lord tonight. Let's pray. And lastly, can we just pray for the men's retreat coming up? Let's ask God's hand to be upon us as we gather together. Pray that everyone will wake up on time and come out to EMP tomorrow. Pray for Steph, Pastor Ricky's wife, who will be giving us the word tomorrow morning. Encourage all the ladies to come out and support the men that are going. There's about 100 and some that are making our way there. Pray for all the speakers. We have a gentleman from India that's coming in. Chris Lee is speaking one session. Jeff Ryan is speaking one session. Pray for all the bonding times and just the meal times. And men would just really draw near to God and to one another. Let's just lift up. Let's pray. Lord, we, again, God, we come before you, Lord, and we lay our bodies on the altar, God. Lord, we are living sacrifices. And I'm mindful of one of Chuck Swindoll's illustrations, God. The problem with living sacrifices is that many oftentimes we take ourselves off the altar. And Lord, I pray, God, that we would remain on that altar, God, that we would die to ourselves every single day. So teach us what it means to be a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to you, God. And so, Lord, that's all we want to do, God. We just want to please you, Lord. And so help us today to do that. Give us your Holy Spirit. Empower us, God, to bring pleasure, God, to your name. We love you, Lord. Be with us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. Please come out tomorrow and support our guys as we head off to our retreat.